This is Jim Semivan, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me for a little breakdown to look at some news from the last couple of days is Dan. I wasn't confused as to who it was, but I was going to add something else here, but I decided against it, Dan. Hello.
I think for this one, breakdown is definitely an appropriate title, given how social media has made me feel. You posted a really good summary of that Thor gif from Ragnarok, of him going through that ride just screaming. Yeah. I think that summarizes the week quite well.
Yeah. See, for me, this little bit of news we're going to talk about isn't even necessarily just like so big it has to be discussed. It's because it's also been stacked on all the other stuff. This is like big game of UFO Tetris at the minute, where we're just getting block after block after block, and it's filling up, you know. It's filling up. What is that news, Dan? Well, the Sean Ryan Show a couple of days ago had a broadcast of about an hour, which is much shorter than their normal shows. Usually Sean Ryan, by the looks of it, goes 2-3 hours with most of his guests. Yeah, it's got UFO connotations. As much as some of the conversation might not necessarily be completely UFO related, it's relevant. And I'm probably going to say, Dan, we'll stay away from some of the other stuff, but we'll probably have to touch on it just because of covering the actual story itself. But Sean Ryan is, this is a weird one for me. So Sean Ryan, it's not a show I've watched too often, but I'm aware of it. And I've probably seen quite a lot of it, but in clip form on social media. And yeah, I would say he is a little bit like a Joe Rogan. He is a former Navy SEAL. He's an entrepreneur and now host of a pretty big podcast. And it seems to be a lot of like former military intelligence officials, Billy Carson, talking about forbidden knowledge. It's quite the mix. And I think it's an interesting mix, I guess, to be honest, and probably something I'll go back and dip into some of it. What do you know about Sean Ryan's show?
About the same. Like, I don't think I've ever watched an episode. It's mostly clips and stuff like that. He reminds me a lot of, oh, I forget the guy's name, the CIA, ex-CIA agent that's in The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, like the other show. Do you know what I mean?
I know the face.
Andrew something. But yeah, just experienced guys, kind of knows the insides and out of intelligence work and stuff like that, but have now turned to entertainment and podcasting.
Yeah, speaks well, presents himself well. And like I say, folks, many of you will know Sean Ryan's show, I'm sure. And if you don't, check it out. But what happened was he had a guest on, Sam Shumate. Now, Sam is a retired CW2 intelligence officer, former military, and in 2020 started a social media account on Instagram, Terminal CWO. And through Sean's own words, the account was to share memes and GIFs and stuff like that. But it kind of evolved really strangely into an account exposing unethical behavior in the military, whistleblowing, all that kind of stuff. I've not looked at it properly. I'm just repeating back what Sean has said. And Sam is now on the show to share some news. So folks will have seen, I'm sure, Dan, especially if you're in the United States, that on the 1st of January, they had the awful New Orleans situation, which isn't related, okay, where someone has driven a truck, probably terror related by the looks of it, but at this point it's not been covered too much in the UK news now, through a crowd of people, killing like 14 people or something like that. Awful. The following day on the 1st of January, or during the day on the 1st of January, a car blew up outside of one of Trump's hotels in Nevada. It was a Tesla Cybertruck, which I think raises eyebrows as well, as to that's a particularly expensive and exclusive car to be blown up. You know, not that you have to have a certain class of car to do that. However, this is all part of the story, folks, and this is very much UFO related. So people will know that story happened. No one was killed or harmed. I don't even know if there was minor injuries with people. It tended to be pretty self-sustaining. Even the blast, the vehicle was filled with what looked like something explosive and fireworks.
I think it was gasoline and fireworks, and a couple of bystanders were kind of injured, but it wasn't life-threatening. The only person that was injured, you know, mortally wounded, was the guy in the car who set off the whole thing.
Maybe. We'll get to that, Dan. Allegedly. Allegedly. If we go with the straight story, and again, I say that because right now I'm not sharing opinion, I'm just sharing what's happened with the Sean Ryan story and whatnot. There was a former Green Beret, Matthew Livelsberger, or Matt Berg, as was reported on some outlets, who was apparently the guy in the Cybertruck who blew the truck up, or the truck was blown up outside of the hotel. So Sam comes on to the show to discuss an email he received and some DMs from this guy, Matthew Livelsberger, a couple of days before the actual incident with the bombing and the truck. I hope I'm covering this right, Dan. So keep me right if I get it wrong at any point. So basically, this guy, Sam, he reads some DMs from Matthew, or we'll just call him Matt, from Matt, who basically says, I need to get in touch with Sean Ryan. I need to get in touch with like CNN, Fox, major mainstream news networks. Can you help me out? Obviously, this guy, Sam, as a popular account, gets loads of DMs, loads of emails. And when he does eventually start talking to Matt, Matt says to him, you know, something like kind of world-changing. Again, I think Sam says, I've seen stuff like this. I get it all the time. I get people getting in touch with me who are just off on a tangent, whatever you want to call it. But he gets this email from Matt or Matthew Livelsberger, which is a kind of manifesto, which brings up a couple of things, including one is the UFO story. Now, he basically says that these drones that are being seen in and around New Jersey on the east coast of the US and elsewhere are Chinese anti, or he says, gravitic propulsion systems, basically anti-gravity craft that are flying around. And this is China showing a show of power, and the US know this, and he feels this is potentially something he has to come out and blow the whistle on, share the news of on in a big way to get people's attention to stop a world war conflict. Am I all right so far, Dan?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right. Before I get to other parts of the email, because I'm going to read the email in a second, what's your thought on that? Because that's the UFO aspect to this story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it. Maybe it's best you read the email first, actually, before we jump into it, just so people can hear the language and stuff like that.
Yep, I will read the email. Okay, so this is the email that was sent to Sam from Matt Berg. So, and this was on December 31st, 10:42 a.m. In case I do not make it to my decision point or onto the Mexico border, I am sending this now. Please do not release this until January 1st and keep my identity private until then. First off, I am not under duress or hostile influence or control. My first car was a 2006 Black Ford Mustang V6 for verification. What we have been seeing with drones is the operational use of gravitic propulsion systems powered by aircraft by most recently China in the East Coast, but throughout history, the US. Only we in China have this capability. Our OPCEN, O-P-C-E-N, location for this activity is in the box is below. China has been launching them from the Atlantic from submarines for years, but this activity recently has picked up. As of now, it is just a show of force, and they are using it similar to how they use the balloon for signal intelligence, I believe that is, and ISR. I'm guessing that's some kind of reconnaissance, which are also part of the integrated comms system. There are dozens of those balloons in the air at any given time. That balloon's in reference to the February 2023 Chinese spy balloon that was shot down. The so what is because of the speed and stealth of these unmanned AC. They are the most dangerous threat to national security that has ever existed. They basically have an unlimited payload capacity and can park it over the White House if they wanted. It's checkmate. The US government needs to give the history of this and how we are employing it and weaponizing it, how China is employing them and what the way forward is. China is poised to attack anywhere in the East Coast. I've been followed for over a week now from likely Homeland or FBI, and they are looking to move on me and are unlikely going to let me cross into Mexico, but won't because they know I am armed and I have a massive VBIED, which is a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, basically the car bomb that we know of. I've been trying to maintain a very visible profile and have kept my phone, and they are definitely digitally tracking me. I have knowledge of this program. I suppose, Dan, this is a bit, I'm not going to read in detail because it's not UFO related and I don't want to go full conspiracy podcast mode, but he basically mentions that he is aware of war crimes committed by the military and covered up by the administration, DOD, DEA and CIA in Afghanistan in 2019, where civilians were killed, and there's some redacted names there. It goes on to say, you need to elevate this to the media so we avoid a world war, because this is a mutually assured destruction situation. For vetting, my LinkedIn is Matt Berg or Matthew Livelsberger. On active duty, 18Z out of 110. My profile is public. I have an active TSSCI with UAP USAP access. Cool. So that was the big kind of bombshell email sent. And all this stuff looks like it was indeed sent to that guy, Sam, the days before what happened. All seems to pan out and play out. So where do we start, Dan?
Where to start? So I had a look around social media to kind of see what people were saying as kind of the other side to this, as to why it might not be real. And I've kind of gathered up some of the points that they're kind of putting out there. So one of the first things that I thought was interesting was someone pointed out that a lot of the email itself has kind of like, you know, there's spell check on the words, which a sent email doesn't do, you know, in your inbox. So Sam Shoemate has copied this text into a text editor and then posted that. And upon people asking him, like, hey, show us the email, you know, just show us a video of you opening it and stuff like that, he's refused to do so. In the email itself, there were a few things that kind of flagged for people. So firstly, the car cited is wrong. The guy in the email claims his first vehicle was a 2006 Mustang. People have checked the records for him, his family, you know, his wider family, and they found that his first vehicle is a 1998 Mustang. So that detail is incorrect. It's weird for him to say, you know, he's being tracked, but he's carried the phone with him. He's picked a Cybertruck that he rented from a company, a remote control car with cameras. So not very good anti-tracking measures there. Also, he's charging up at Tesla charging points that are camered up as well. So he's making himself really easy to track the whole way in whatever he's doing. Obviously, he didn't go to Mexico. Then the Sam Shoemate has provided some kind of images of Instagram posts that have been found to kind of back up that this is a genuine email. And those Instagram posts have been found to be manipulated, like the chat bubbles. You can see that they've been copy and pasted from other chats and things like that. So there's another flag. The war crimes cited in the email itself, apparently, you know, I haven't looked into this too much just because I didn't hear about them back then, but I saw a tweet that kind of cited a bunch of articles that already, you know, these were mainstream. These are known kind of things already. So it's weird that he's flagging up things that are known anyway. And then someone called Green Beret Naptime on Twitter, GBNT1952, that's the account handle. He points out that he's actually using the wrong terminology for a Green Beret. And I'll just read this bit wholesale because this is expertise that an experience that I don't have. So he says, the mail itself contains a ton of misnomers or flat-out wrong information. For instance, the email states USFORA, which is an acronym for United States Force Afghanistan. He says someone at his level, especially an ODA member in 2019, would have actually been working under the Special Operations Joint Task Force Afghanistan, which would be abbreviated to SOJTFA at the highest level, and he would have known this. USFORA would be used by conventional forces, but the more well-known and common name would have been Resolute Support Mission, or RSM, or Operation Resolute Support. And just point out, you know, that's weird kind of verbiage there. Tesla also confirmed the vehicle wasn't driven remotely. So I've seen a bunch of ideas kind of being passed around that this is kind of like a false flag, right? That the military have driven this guy there to kind of blow it up and distract from certain things going on. But yeah, Tesla have confirmed that it wasn't driven remotely. Whoever was in the vehicle was actually driving the vehicle. Tesla also unlocked the doors remotely to help with the investigation, which I was like, yeah, great that they're helping. But also, what? Tesla can unlock your car doors remotely? Like, is everyone okay that has a Tesla that Elon Musk can just come along and go into your car and get whatever he wants? Like, that seems a bit much.
I wouldn't go into that because that's sort of like meh.
I mean, I wouldn't be. I mean, that's the point of car keys, right? You don't want other people to have your car keys. I just found it funny as a side point.
My car got broke into with the car key being in the house and people being able to stand outside with an electronic device and open it because they were within 20 feet of my electronic.
Yeah,
lock.
So that's like.
So, like, if somebody can do that in the middle of the street, then anyone can get in anyone's car.
Yeah, but you know, still not great to make that easy. And then some people kind of pointed out as well that. The gentleman who committed the act was in a position where he built drones as opposed to, you know, going into being in a position where he would be told where these drones over New Jersey are coming from. And he'd only know what he needs to know to do his job as opposed to being told, you know, that's compartmentalization, which is how we know the US works. So yeah. And then there are a couple of logic things for me that, we've spoken about already,
which are more UFO related. But is that the
where you think, okay, so let's just take this at face value and game it out. You know, these anti-graphitic drones are of China origin, and we can just kind of work with that. So you got to think, okay, so if China has this capability, they're using it to just fly to New Jersey, like. That kind of feels like a waste when there are.
Can we take it back a step? We'll get to that one. Let's take it back one step, sure. Right? That for a start, they're launching them from submarines rather than being able to fly them directly over, where you would assume, oh, would you not just launch them from further away? Do you have to take them? Yes. That to me seems like it's pure assumption, but almost unnecessary step if you're talking like UFO technology here. Just to dumb it down.
Totally.
Maybe there was a limitation though, like, which, okay, fair enough. Maybe it is just like they have a shorter range. They've got reasons for keeping them closer, but yeah, that's an odd one.
Yeah, you think that they just, you know, take off from China and go out the atmosphere and then dip back in, and especially if they're not, you know, going to run out of fuel. So yeah, you think that they'd use it to take Taiwan since China wants to do that. And then you've got the fact that, like you say, submarines are involved here, whereas September 2024, it was found that a Chinese nuclear submarine was actually lost in the dock and China covered it up, so they didn't even get to launching. So their submarine technology isn't, you know, great yet. Here they are supposedly launching anti-gravity drones, or gravitic, sorry, drones from a sub. And then the idea that there are these subs off the East Coast, you know, doing their thing undetected. We all know what the US did with the Chinese weather balloon thing that flew over. As soon as it was over the ocean, they just shot it down. And that's kind of been set to play a role in this New Jersey drone incursion, where they could shoot something down and it would hit someone's house or maybe kill someone or whatnot. Whereas if they were over the ocean, they could just take them out, not really worrying about the fallout like they did with that Chinese balloon. And we know they could detect the submarine, just because we only have to look back to June 2023 when that tragic accident with Ocean Gate happened. You know, the Millionaire submarine kind of blew up by the Titanic, it imploded. Yeah. And it came out that the US Navy detected that, you know, really quickly after it happened. They detected the sound of it, and that's kind of how all of their sensors work. They pick up the sound signature of the submarine's engine or propeller, and they can identify what it is. So, you know, not much is getting past them in terms of just floating subs out there.
Yeah. So a few points then on that, okay. And we'll get to what if it is true, okay. I suppose I'll ask you at this point, are you leaning towards, what is your thoughts on this actually in general?
Sure. For me, I'm like I always say, take it seriously, hold it lightly. I'm kind of leaning towards it not necessarily being completely truthful, but we all have to be aware of our own biases no matter where we're leaning here. For me, it's a bit far-fetched, but I'm trying to be aware of my bias. You know, we agree with what confirms our beliefs instead of challenging them. So I'm trying to challenge myself and leave that space for, but maybe a part of this could be true. So I continue to follow the story, but I'd say on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being I believe it and 0 being I don't believe it, I'd say I'm probably like a 4.
Okay, fair enough. Tech issues. So when you're saying, and this is me thinking out loud as you were talking, well, actually never, I wrote it down, I've done quite the opposite, and now I'm going to think out loud. That's stupid grammar from me. When we're saying about like China taking Taiwan rather than flying over the US East Coast, I'm with you on that. That doesn't make sense that you've got, I think we've talked before about, imagine China or Russia had a tic-tac and they could put it over the White House at any point with a nuclear weapon or some kind of weapon in it. That would be like the end game, because that would be it in terms of strategic, you know, they have the high ground, as Obi-Wan said.
Yeah, they'll be checkmate, right?
Yeah. However, the China had year before, had a missile land on a road. Do you remember that, where it fell out the sky?
Yeah.
And basically, yeah. And I remember Chris Mellon basically joking about it, saying, well, if this is the kind of where Chinese technology's at, we don't have to worry about them having X, Y, and Z. But then literally weeks later, they tested a hypersonic missile that was around the planet. Something like that. And that was reported really widely. So on one hand, you get, huh, their stuff's not as good as we think. But then on the other hand, you hear them having this. And then if I use like a US version, we've got the US has the best military, the biggest budget by any stretch, and the best technology on the planet. Yet these drones seem to be evading them, if we're to believe. And it's just like, you get conflicting information all over the place, which is kind of where I'm at with this. Because for me, it's just another piece of that whole drone situation that's been plugged in. And it's quite funny how a lot of folks who have been quite happy to speak a lot on the drone stuff being true UFOs are just plugging this into their narrative now and running with this instead, or dropping that drone story altogether and running with this one.
I think that's what I'm referencing when I say you know that bias that we tend to adopt things that confirm our beliefs. And you're right, like, it is people that were just buying or wholesale into the whole NHI is drones things in New Jersey that are just believing this and adopting it wholesale instead of holding it lightly and questioning it. And, you know, fair enough if you want to look into it, but it's the belief thing for me where they're just like, yeah, definitely, it's definitely all true. I think it's kind of, it's really strange because in the UFO community, especially in conspiracy land, there's very much like a anti-authoritarian kind of, you know, you question everything you told. Yet some places like this, people just accept it wholesale. So it is like a weird contradiction inherent in it, you know?
Yeah, I think my default mode is to try and look at everything through the lens of, is this what real would look like? Is what I'm kind of trying to do with stuff, whether it's a picture, a statement, a David Grush, a hearing, or like this situation I'm trying to, or like even the drones. Is that what real would look like? And I have to go, yeah, it could be, like, you know, because we don't know. I was looking through the comments, Dan, as you were just sharing. And again, folks, before people have a go at Dan or me or anyone else, either side of the argument, Dan is just sharing the stuff that people are saying on there. There are, I think it looks like 50-50 if you go through the X comments on any of the threads of people saying, this is genuine, this is legit, this is real. And there is stuff that's really interesting, including if you take it face value, dates, times, emails, if you're taking Sam Shumate at face value, that there's something to this, definitely. But equally, there's a good 50% of people who seem to be questioning things like you've brought up, Dan, in terms of speech bubbles, emails, why certain things look like it's an email that's not been sent yet, why things have been copied and pasted a certain way. It looks a little bit odd. You would like to think that Sean Ryan wouldn't have just had this guy on his show for sensationalism, but as we talk, it's on 4 million views, which is pretty decent numbers, obviously. So I don't know.
And there's always the chance that Sean Ryan, you know, like we're discussing all of this now in hindsight, but there's always the chance that someone came to Sean Ryan with this information, and he genuinely thought it was important to put it out. And that's all he's done, you know, and then gotten off the grid, and he's just taken a break for a week wherever he's gone.
What would you do? So, and if you're Sean Ryan, in that situation, you get this guy coming to you, who you know, ex-military, as well as you, and says, I've got this stuff, and based on what literally has just happened, it could be connected. And the guy's also claiming about war crimes, and he's claiming about these UAPs and drones that have been China. And some of this stuff looks really weird. Like, what would you do?
Well, I try and think of it in terms of, you know, I'm friends with Lou. If Lou came to me with something similar, then I'd probably give Lou the benefit of the doubt, you know, and kind of say, yeah, let's talk about this on a platform. And think, you know what, I'm just starting a conversation. I'm not saying that it's definitely real. I'm not saying it's definitely fake. I'm just pouring it out there. I'm just asking questions, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can understand, again, it's that very human aspect of it, isn't it? That Sean could have very honestly just put his hands up and said, I'm just pouring it out, so it could be part of the conversation. Make of it what you will.
And Sean has said, and he does say within the body of the hour-long interview, folks, and I suggest people go and watch it, we aren't validating the stuff that's came in on the email. They are sharing what they've got. Obviously, the DMs that you mentioned beforehand from Matt to Sam say, what I'm going to share with you is going to change the course of humanity. There was a little bit, though, where they didn't know what USAP meant, which is what Unacknowledged Special Access Program.
That's a little strange to me, because that's even just for the people that
they would know.
The public wouldn't know, but like we know because we talk a lot about this, and you think that they would know because they're in these subjects all the time, right?
Yeah. So that I'm not saying it's perfect. It's just another one of those I don't knows right now for me to throw into this. I think I said to you, Dan, we rarely discuss these things before. We always say that on any of these shows. We tend to kind of talk about it for the first time when we hit record, just for that. But I did phone you, was it last night? And kind of had like a 10, 15 minute chat about it to be like, what do you think? And I said to you, I actually believe that it's more likely there is a non-human intelligence buzzing the east coast of the US than China using anti-gravitic drones to do it. Because what if one of those, like you say, crashes? What if it gets shot down?
Yeah, I mean, we saw what happened with the SR-71, where one of them was shot down because, you know, the US would do overflights, even though they had this agreement that they wouldn't do that. And they thought they were getting away with it. And then it turns out the Russia had been tracking them the whole time. So them shooting one down not only reveals that, you know, we've got your technology now and we can study it, but it also shows Russia's hand in terms of being able to track their best stealth aircraft. So there are games afoot.
I want to stress at this point, and I hope I should have done this earlier. At the end of the day, there is a very likely, if you take the story overall at face value, there is still a guy who potentially has had some very serious issues, including PTSD, mental health issues, whatever people want to say, that has lost his life and also has left a son behind, which is really, again, as a parent,
it's tragic.
That kind of hits home, which is awful. And I've not actually seen how old his son is to be like, you know, is that a young kid that's grown up with us? And the guy doesn't seem particularly old himself. But at any age, he's left behind, you know, friends, family, and a kid in a pretty distressing way. So people have to kind of bear that in mind when they're discussing all these kind of things as well. And I say that because Sam on the show goes on to mention that there was a statement kind of thrown out that the DNA found on the body inside the truck didn't match that of his son. And Sam goes on to say that, well, that either throws up one of two things. One, it's not his body inside the truck. Or two, that he'd done this potentially because he found out his son wasn't his and the ex had potentially cheated and whatever that may be, which is, again, awful either way. But it goes into, Sam basically says in his theory, if the body, the DNA doesn't match, then potentially this was a dead body already inside the truck with a bullet wound in its head. and potentially a body was put inside the vehicle. It was put in self-drive mode. The car was set up to explode but not cause a lot of damage, because those Tesla Cybertrucks are pretty indestructible. There's been a lot of tests showing, you know, what you can't shoot bullets at it and all that kind of stuff, and that it would be a good, and I put that in quotation marks, choice of vehicle to blow up and not cause mass casualties, because it would contain a lot of the blast.
I mean, I've seen a lot of that, but I've also watched a lot of videos of, you know, it going through a puddle and breaking down and some guy actually shooting the back of it with a shotgun just in middle of America to just show that it can take it. And he just puts a hole in the back of it and he's like, oh, no, you know. So, yes, it's more robust, but also the device itself didn't seem to be set up to cause a lot of damage. No. Of course, the best way to not cause damage or injury would be not to set off an explosive device at all.
Yeah, 100%. And it still goes back to the why, and right now that's very much up in the air. He suggests, and Sean Ryan, that potentially Matt Berg is still alive. That then goes down the whole other conspiratorial route as to what's happened here, which I don't know. There was stuff about the signal, the messaging service safety number changing after the fact, but I do believe that can happen automatically through those services anyway.
I see mine change every now and then. And they have released video of, you know, I mean, the internet sleuths have taken that video from security cameras and shown that it looks like there's someone moving inside the truck, and it's even being questioned whether he shot himself before the explosion happened.
Yeah.
So... And then you put on top of that, the Tesla have confirmed that the vehicle wasn't driven remotely. Of course, they could be lying, like, you know, that's the idea. But it doesn't seem like it's the right place to give that false hope to the loved ones he's leaving behind.
Yeah, I don't think I'll comment on that situation then, because I don't know genuinely what's happened with the guy and the explosion and everything else, right? But in terms of the aftermath, it certainly seems to me like a lot of different sides are using the situation to take advantage and plug it into their narrative, i.e. this is the US trying to justify a war with China. This is the US trying to cover up that we've got non-human intelligence flying about the East Coast. This was a guy who was suffering with mental health issues who has blown up a car, killed himself and whatnot. And there's so many different ways. Can I ask you, Dan, let's go with this email's legitimate. What are your thoughts if I say the email's real, the chain of events is real, and the contents within it is correct? Forget the war crime stuff. We don't need to get into that.
Then,
but the UFO...
I mean, if it's completely real, if it's completely legit, the only real response to it is holy shit, right? Because then it confirms that anti-gravitic technology is a real thing. That kind of brings up a whole load of other can of worms about the history of how it's developed. It's almost well established at this point that a lot of China's technology come from, you know, industrial sabotage. They steal things from the US. There's a joke that if you want to find out how Chinese technology works, you just look at the US patents. And so it would suggest that the US has it. And then we talk about the history of the UFO subject and where they would even get that technology. You know, we're looking at the 50s, 60s, anti-gravitic technology. I would recommend, you know, people go read Nick Cook's work, where he worked for Jane's Defense Weekly, and, you know, very on the up and up. And he started looking into how during the 50s, a lot of scientists were looking at developing anti-gravity technology, and that a lot of the research just kind of disappeared. And it suggested it goes into black projects and stuff like that. So then the implication is that comes from some kind of captured non-human intelligence craft. And so, you know, all of that opens up, and we almost have to say, you know, Mark McCandlish was right, Greer was right. Like, all these people throughout the last 70, 80 years that have talked about this technology being real are almost vindicated, just if this is real.
Yep. So on that, a good place to mention Stephen Greer. There's been a news clip going around of a podcast he was on. I'm not actually sure which it was, but he only does big podcasts, you know, big numbers. He basically claims that there are whistleblowers coming forward that have, of course, spoken to him. And you talk about that bias, Dan, cards on the table. My bias with Greer is how he always likes to interject himself as the most important player in all of this, that no matter what's happening, he has known something, and it seems to be if he doesn't or can't justify it, then it's not worth anyone else knowing, and that it's disinformation and misinformation. It's his ball, and if he doesn't want to play, he's going to go home with it, essentially.
And that's all being aware of bias is, exactly what you just did. It's not a bad thing to have bias. We just have to be aware of it, so that when we take on information from someone that we agree or disagree with, we place it reasonably within our spectrum of belief to disbelief.
Yeah, and like I say, when he's proven to be correct on all this stuff, I will be the first person signing up to his next camp, and selling several of my children to fund the next to him at Kumbaya around the fire camp.
I'll put a big cut lifestyle stand out, you know, standee of Stephen Greer behind me, if that happens.
And it's got a button on the back that cries when you press it. No, that's not fair. But he has come out and said that there are whistleblowers about to come forward. We're in January, Dan, and there's already probably been, I think, more happened in the first week of the year than almost what happened in the first 6 months of last year, in a way,
yes.
Which has been a bit ridiculous. It's been a bit explosive. It's been a bit all over the place. It's not necessarily easy to follow because there's not one particular story and narrative. You've got all these drones, you've got all these different potential situations, whether it's non-human intelligence, it's US spy drones that are fitted out to find nuclear material from stuff that's been smuggled in and lost and dirty bombs. It's top secret US tech, which Space Force is running. It's hobbyist drones being misidentified. It's everything. And then this added on top of it. And then you've got Greer coming out and saying there's stuff happening in the next few weeks. Ross Coulthart had been saying that from a few weeks ago, that all hell will break loose in January. All tying into, obviously, the presidential swearing-in in a couple of weeks. Inauguration, sorry, is the word. it's certainly, I can't even say simmering nicely in terms of news, because the pot's boiling over already, and I don't think the meat's cooked. It's been a bit ridiculous, I'll say, as a start to the year. What do you think this is linked in any way, shape or form? And when I say this, I mean the whole drone situation, including this incident, to what's going to be happening in the coming weeks, allegedly.
You know, I really don't know.
No,
like I'm on the edge.
I've got
an answer.
I can't have that. I can't have that in the podcast. Like, no, but go on. Sorry to interrupt.
This is the issue with the way we are, right? You know, this kind of bombing thing happened, and then I saw different people grab it, and different people say no, absolutely not, and so on and so forth. And we find ourselves in a place where we have God in the gaps, where you just fill gaps of information with the idea of God and say, well, God did it. Then you know, similar to how, when we didn't know why the planets move, we would just say, oh, well, that's proof of God then. And now we know that that's not true. We look at like the quantum world and go, oh, wow, everything's connected. There must be a God. It's almost conspiracy in the gaps. And a big part of it is the fact that there is no transparency around this stuff. You know, people aren't really sharing. The officials aren't sharing. The adults in the room aren't sharing. And so it kind of creates this situation on social media and in the world where everyone's kind of choosing their own adventure. They're choosing the thing that supports their narratives, cherry picking and so on and so forth. You know, everyone's doing it. I'd be guilty of it too. And so you're kind of left in a place where, like I said, you're wondering where the hell are the adults? Like, how do we clean up this mess? It just feels like the other day we were talking about how we enjoy the UFO subject as like a buffet. Just grabbing different bits of food. It almost feels like 2025 happened and then someone just came along and just threw the buffet table over. And I'm just like, is anyone going to stop and pick that up? You know? Yeah.
I don't feel I'm following the story at all. I feel I'm just like, sure. It's not like I can actively work out what's happening. I'm just kind of like, it's just happening and we're just kind of along for the ride.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say that's a good way of putting it. And I'm partly looking forward to what Ross is alluding to, because it seems like, you know, he said this a while ago now. So it seems like that will be coming forward with a little more structure. And I'm kind of looking forward to those discussions having a bit more structure instead of everyone just arguing over the minutiae of whether it's true and kind of building these conspiracy theories out. Yeah,
it's. I hope it clears things up. Do you know, at this point, I would actually settle for, I don't know if as much as, do you know what, yeah, I would love something explosive and revelatory and all that kind of stuff, right? Of course we would, but it would also just be nice to have something which maybe contains all this a little bit and settles things down and just pulls the structure in. You know, we were talking about storyboards before, weren't we? Was that before we recorded? I think me and you were chatting about something random and, you know, about all the ideas. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was all the ideas on the board. Don't say what it was. it'll upset people. But the idea right now is you've got, like, you're writing like the Avengers movie. I always use Marvel, don't I? You're writing like the Avengers movie and you've got all these post-it notes and storyboards up, but we need someone to come in and go, calm down. Can we just start pulling this all down into a script and into a flow and into a beginning, a middle, and an end? Because right now, it's the most mental spider diagram of news, which, like I say, what are those swimming flumes, you know, where you're on the ride and it's like the rapid river? And you're just in the ring and you're just going along. That's literally me right now, / the Thor Ragnarok meme, where it's just, I'm just following this story. So if anyone's listening to this and thinking, you've probably heard more common sense from Dan, but that Andy's going to give us any answers, I am literally just following the story. And yeah, I don't know what to think of it right now.
It's impossible to keep up with. I was trying to, just before the show, I was trying to find, I saw a video yesterday about Sam, and apparently he had a history of faking emails, and I was trying to find the video so I could say it and source it, but goddamn, I can't find the video. No. You know, everything's just moving so quickly.
Yeah, and that's one thing as well. It's really easy with this or any story to see one thing dismissing something and then going, oh, well, that's true, the guy's full of bullshit, but it can be equally as hard sometimes to find that, and then you're like, but does it mean this is wrong? Is it Boy Who Cried Wolf? I don't know. Dan, should we get to some listener thoughts and stuff on it?
Let's do it.
I'd like to think these would give a broad overview of everything. So first off, Dara says, it's definitely not a state actor, as the cost, logistics and manpower needed to randomly put new tech drones over many adversarial countries without leaving a footprint for months is beyond even the US military, never mind the logic of it. Please stop with the Iranian mothership, Russian criminals, China missing nukes, and focus on the 80 years of prior evidence. So yeah, that's not at us, that's just aimed at random.
Taking it personally, it was just for me.
Yeah, that's totally aimed at you. You should see some of the stuff that does get aimed at you. I'm sure you get plenty of it. But I suppose that's a good point, because we are talking about US here, but these drones were seen over the UK first, and then if it's indeed the same drones, the US, and then Denmark and Germany... And it's been all over, you know. I'm sure if you really wanted to go digging into most countries, you could find drone sightings from the last month and then just hoy it into the same pile and go, look, they're appearing over Cape Town in South Africa now as well. And do you know what? It's just a drone. So yeah,
that's something we have to be careful of, right? Like, putting it all in one group and saying that everything's the same actor versus it being different people, different actors and stuff like that. Sure, both are possible, but you've got to hold both those possibilities until we have evidence one way or the other.
Q said, online communities consider your unfamiliarity with the acronym USAP, exposing of limited intelligence experience. Are you familiar with the higher levels of secret clearance by name? I think that was aimed at Sean Ryan and co. Yeah, I suppose that's something we've picked up on and mentioned, because people were like, why don't you guys know what USAP means, given your background and just the people you talk to? Jonathan said, do you think Ross Coulthart's comments regarding all hell breaking loose early in 2025 is just the beginning? Perhaps the US and China have been testing the waters with advanced drones for years, poking each other just far enough to avoid war. The US government still have no answer publicly for the drones, a much bigger join the dots type scenario, as the possible upcoming wave of terror attacks on America that Sarah Adams talks about on the Sean Ryan show that could be linked to Matt's warning that set off the Cybertruck explosion. I wish Ross Coulthart would start acting like an investigative reporter instead of a clickbait soundbite podcaster. If Ross says all hell will break loose in 2025, how so? Or that a building is hiding a UFO, why say that if you have zero evidence? Do you know what, Ross, I personally don't think the guy is just saying stuff for the sake of saying it. I do believe he enjoys the fact he has a good reputation among many, and as a serious journalist. So I don't think he's just being clickbaity, because a lot of stuff he said in the past, if you go back, it's built to things like hearings and all that as well, and he is in the loop with a lot of these folks. He knows some stuff, but his own co-host said it best, Bryce Zabel, who was very much like, I'm holding your account on this, I'm holding your feet to the fire if nothing happens. And Ross was like, yeah, great, good, go for it. The terror attack thing, Dan, I don't know if you watched the full hour of the Sean Ryan show, but that was something kind of touched on. Outside of that, he'd just had Sarah Adams on, who's now writing, she's an intelligence community person, who is writing part of his newsletter now on, and they're basically predicting there's going to be terror attacks and stuff this year in the US. Again, not UFO related, so there's plenty of stuff you can go to listen to, folks, or check out the interview with Sean Ryan and Sam to see that, or with Sarah Adams. But yeah.
That kind of thing, like, I get what they talk about it, but it almost feels a little irresponsible. Like, if we're talking about the
scaremongering,
the threat angle for UFOs, scaremongering and stuff, then so is that. You know, like, terror attacks are planned often. They're probably shut down just as often. So, like, yeah, there's probably some terror attacks being planned on every place in the world right now, but it doesn't mean they're going to happen, and there's a difference. And this is, like, how much do we want to know as the public? You know, if you knew every single terror attack that was being planned, you wouldn't leave your house. And so there's a balance there. You know, I get that. So yeah, that I think that's a little irresponsible to talk about, but also I understand why it's being spoken about.
Yeah. Byron said the whole situation is so fantastical, it evokes Dote-esque feeling, a la Kafka-esque, or God, Sopsian-esque, or some other dystopian ontology bending-esque. You've said esque again. This makes me extremely wary of the whole situation. It is a bit, I think we've said this, Dan, a bit fantastic, a bit ridiculous sounding, but very much a putting it out there, and this is our kind of thoughts on something that's difficult to nail down one way or the other.
Yeah, and like you say as well, you know, what is real going to look like when it does happen? If there was an alien invasion, it would also be, you know, Kafka-esque and all the other asks there. It would be absurd, and so that can't be the only thing we'd judge these things with, you know.
Yeah, Joey is not my name, who is famous on the Discord, has mentioned that a lot of people had asked him if Matt, who is allegedly the gentleman who has obviously died and blown himself up in the vehicle, was one of the Black Project insiders claimed to be coming forward in January. Joey said he asked Michael Herrera and confirmed Matt was not associated with them. So he seems to have drawn the line under, yeah, he wasn't anything to do with these folks that were meant to be coming forward. Phyllis said, I've been following this pretty closely, and these are my personal conclusions so far. Sean and Sam are sincere and not feds. The emails sent by the bomber are genuine. The manifesto is not. That reeks of psyop disinformation. At first I thought maybe Matt might be alive, but now I don't think so. More info keeps coming out just as we keep learning more about the New Orleans bomber. Yeah, so some of them are just thoughts, Dan. There's a few more questions.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, we've got to be patient with these things. And like we always say, we may never find out because we don't have the need to know. So this could just be the start of another conspiracy that lasts for the rest of time.
Andy said, I'm so confused at the moment with the subject, especially on X. So many folks fighting against each other, so much BS, it's literally a mess in my head. I don't know who to trust or believe anymore. Gone are the days I could watch the odd documentary or read a book and make up my own mind. I could never leave the rabbit hole, though. Laughy face. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Andy. It's genuinely, like I say, those December, I was busy anyway, but I spent so little time on socials compared to some. Just because the drone story, just it was so similar every single day, the same information, the same types of videos, the same random testimony, and there was just so much of it. It wasn't like it was one story confined to a couple of days and a couple of videos. It just got a bit where it just seemed to me that it was bandwagon jumping. And I think this now is riding the wave of it almost.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Riposte says, just to give an opinion, I've seen a wave of truly shite posts about this stuff. Great word, use of the word shite. Mostly on Reddit, but I'm sure it's worse on X. Conspiracies are already running rampant and are coming from every angle, and it's really put me off the whole idea for now. Feels like multiple parties are fighting for their narrative to take hold for different reasons, and the UFO community are just being dragged along with it. Interesting start to the year either way. Yeah, fair enough. Like,
yeah, fair.
This is a good one, one for a bit of discussion. So Alex says, I'd like to know your thoughts on how we can better respond to these kinds of stories on social media. It's always fun when a new story lights up our socials, but it would be great if we had a more cautious and unified response. For me, Alex, I would say you can't contain it on social media because you're always going to see everyone's opinions spattered all over the place. In a way, the world was a better place when everyone didn't have social media because you couldn't see what everyone thought, because that's a dangerous thing, as it turns out. I don't think things are worse now. I just think you never had access to your neighbor's thoughts and opinions before, whereas now you do.
Almost speaks to why telepathy for all would be a bad thing.
Yeah. I brought that up with Kai, actually. And make sure you've checked out the Kai Dickens podcast, folks, which is out in the last couple of days, about the telepathy tapes. But yeah, I just, these kind of stories, I think my advice before Dan gives his is just make sure your any social media feeds are kind of what you want to see. I have a mix of people who I follow that I trust and believe, but also other folks who can be a little bit more against the grain. But I like to see other opinions and I like to see other takes, not that I necessarily conform or believe them, but I like to see the other side of the argument. So yeah, or again, what shows you listen to and what blogs or newspapers you read. It's all the same thing. Just kind of pick and choose, but try and look at different sides of the argument, definitely.
Yeah, and further to that, I'd say, you know, look for things that aren't so sensational, though the sensational stuff can be fun and it's worth dipping into just to kind of see what the other side is saying sometimes. But also when you open social media, like when I open X, it comes up on the discover feed and not the following feed. So yeah. Sometimes I'll open it and I'll scroll for a while and I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, this is just noise. And then I'm like, oh, these aren't the people I follow. So yeah, don't do what I do. Always check that you're on the right feed. You know, on Blue Sky, you can make your own feeds of people. Same on Threads now. So yeah, just always make sure that you're in touch with the people you want to be in touch with, as opposed to just kind of getting all that noise all the time, because that's what drives you crazy, I think.
Dan, have you seen this Michaela Fakar? Who has come out whistleblower in the last kind of 12 hours.
Is this the tweet that starts with, that's it, I've had enough?
Yeah, I'm blowing the whistle, I'm done with this. So quick one, folks, I'll read this out because someone's posted it as part of it. So this individual, Michaela, don't know much about her. She says, I'm blowing the whistle, I'm done with this. My name is Michaela Fakar. I'm a US Air Force veteran, 1N0 all source analyst from October 2020 to 21. I was deployed to the CENTCOM Air Operations Center at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. I was an E4 at the time, and my job was to process mission reports from pilots conducting sorties within CENTCOM theater. My job was to report on daily significant activity reports and publish graphic intel summaries to all air units in CENTCOM. Task forces reported a ton of UAP activity, but because we had no framework of reporting those requirements, we didn't. There is evidence of all of this on Kessel Run, the database we used to process these reports on. From October 2020 to around January 21, I worked night shift at a time when very few people worked. As I was reporting on events, news came out of blue on blue fratricide. While I was complying the reporting, a CIA officer came out of his room and tapped me on the shoulder. He told me not to report it. We had other blue-on-blue events, and we received orders to not report on these events due to potential for diplomatic scandals. Blue-on-blue, that's like friendly...
Friendly fire. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we saw like a little bit of that happening in the news recently, and it caused a bit of an uproar because one of the American jets shot down another one of their jets, and apparently that was a bigger event than we've been led to believe in the news, but I'm sure more will come out about that in the future. But yeah, friendly fire.
Yeah, so she goes on to say, I live in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I'm still in the individual reserve, ready reserve. I have reached out to Jeremy, Sarah Adams, Sean Ryan, and Sam separately, but have received no word from you. I want to testify to Representative Tim Burchett because I am concerned about the Biden administration and our national security apparatus. They lack a fundamental understanding of the national security picture with China, and they are ramping us up for war. I believe that what I witnessed can corroborate the concerns that Matt Levelsberg addressed in his email manifesto. I am not under duress or hostile influence, meaning I am testifying under circumstances of guilt and conscience of my decision to not report on these things earlier. I believe that Berg is still alive because of the tradecraft he carried out on the raw Tesla footage that we saw. I also believe that he was intentional in all of his actions, and while hurried, he displayed elite tradecraft in conveying what needed to be conveyed. I don't know if this message will get me arrested, nor do I care. I want you to operate with the assumption that Berg is waiting for people to accept that he is alive and wants to testify before President Donald Trump. If you need my credentials as proof, I have previously sent them to Sean Ryan and Jeremy. Michaela. And the comments are as you would expect on all sides of the fence. So yeah, that's just came out in the last 12 hours. I don't really have much to add to that because right now it's just a post. And is it? Oh, well, yeah, of course you're coming out now and adding a little bit of flame to the fire, getting yourself noticed, and other folks are saying, you know, well done and everything in between, Dan. Yeah, I don't even know what to say if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, kind of the same. I'm confused that X would be the proper channel to go through. You know, there are other channels for whistleblowers to go through. I'd be curious to hear her definition of what UAP was, you know, whether it was anomalous or aerial, because both are used kind of interchangeably. Kessel Run as the program name is a great name. I can see that being like real, you know, like it's just what people do. We had seen like the Biden politicization stuff in there, so I won't comment on that, but it just
seems a bit unnecessary.
You could take it out the email almost and it wouldn't make the post and it wouldn't make a difference.
And they're the one thing I will say, and I not let's say politicize it, but they're leaving office.
Yeah,
so can you start a war with China with like 2 weeks to go? That's like the old to hell with it, I've handed him a notice and I'm going to go mental. Like that is the ultimate going mental.
And then she says that the gentleman, sorry, Michael, was it that blew up the Cybertruck?
Matt,
that he was hurried. That's not true. Like there's footage of him charging up the Cybertruck at various stops where he's just chill, you know, cleaning his car.
Maybe hurried in general and what he's trying to do and why, as opposed to literally being hurried, but.
Some elaboration around that would clear that up. But yeah, intriguing. I'll sit back and let it play out and see where it goes.
I'll just say it would be really easy to take the emails and a lot of the comments around the Sean Ryan stuff from Matt and Sam, put it into ChatGPT and ask it to make that as a story.
Yeah,
like real. This is the problem. We are now in the age of AI, machine learning, and all these different ChatGPT models and different variations of it, and Grok and all that kind of stuff. And it's just what is real and what's not real is just this is where we are now, folks. Like
and it's weird, isn't it? Because like we always talk about, you know, what would real look like if there was a picture of UAP? What would it look like? And we touched on it a little bit here. And there's almost, to every photo of a UFO you see, it exists in kind of a state of both being faked and being real, because we truly don't know. So both things can be true. You know, a whole group of people say it's fake, a whole group of people say it's real. And there's, without some proper authority on that particular picture, there's no real kind of way to definitively tell. So just like this, you know, we have no authority on the lady who's posted this post. So it's both fake and real at the same time. And so you're kind of left in that, don't believe your eyes and ears, but also do, but also don't, but also do. And like, that's just social media.
Schrodinger's GPT.
Like, yeah.
Sounds like a proper 1990s Windows software. Like, oh, have you using Schrodinger's GPT? So it's great for AI images. A couple of folks on the Discord will finish off. Glatporth said, I'm unsure what to think. Fair enough. Gnosis says, my main comment is that for a manifesto, it seemed very thin on details as far as the drone side of things was concerned. Unless I haven't seen everything that was written, if he knew these were Chinese anti-gravitic craft, that then he never explained in detail how he knew this. It seems the knowledge of how he knew this went with him and he never made it onto Sean Ryan's show to do the deep dive into it. Weird to kill yourself without that detail, and unless it isn't really true, which I suspect is the case. Longknife said, the only way a Special Forces senior enlisted guy like that would be read in that I can think of is that teams he was on could be tasked to support crash retrievals during his career, or maybe they were encouraging these things in the field and got some kind of threat briefing. Saucy Puppets said, I'm not convinced the FBI press person knew which manifesto was being talked about when he said it was likely legitimate. Plus, I read the guy's first car was a 98 Mustang and not a 2006 one, as the manifesto said. Major Truth said, I'm slightly dismayed, even as a manly man, that some of the magnification and amplification of this topic for the greater purpose of public discourse has been at the hands of these meat bro shows. I think the topic is finally getting a lot of good attention, which I adore, but some of the highest noise-making shows tend to be these MMA SAS bro shows. Really irrelevant, probably, as those are just independently popular for other reasons. So yeah, a lot of good commentary there, Dan. But should we start wrapping up? So overall thoughts again on where we are with this story? And I view that as in the whole drone situation into this is all-inclusive.
Yeah, it feels like the first time I watched Fantasia, you know, the Disney thing, where to go to Disney again, they just have us. And you're just like, what's going on? I understand the Booms are dancing, but I don't really know where it fits into the overall narrative of the movie. Like, that's what this moment feels like. So I just can't make heads or tail of it. So just as always, I'll just say, you know, take it seriously, but hold it real lightly.
And I'll ask, a January swing for the fences as to what the big news is going to be?
I would, if I, you know, gun to my head, had to guess, I would hope for a first-hand whistleblower from the Legacy program. And it would be nice if it was someone who worked on the tech side of things. So like from Lockheed or one of these other defense contractors.
Are we going full Independence Day Brent Spiner type guy who's been working on the craft? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Hopefully less of a character than that guy. But, you know, could be detrimental to the impression he leaves people. But if we had an engineer who came out and said, yeah, I work with Lockheed and we tried to give this material to Bigelow at one point and can confirm it and come to paperwork, then, you know, it'll make the conversation real spicy. That's something journalists can grab onto and report and investigate.
Yeah, I think the whistleblower side of things is a safe bet at the moment. And I wonder, is that because Greer has heard that's coming? Is he lumping in with, yeah, I'm in touch with whistleblowers and, you know, they're giving his information and whatnot. So, yeah.
I just to add, I remember a couple of episodes ago, you said, in 2025, some things may or may not happen. We might hear from whistleblowers, we might not. Delete is applicable. So yeah. You were as correct as Greer in this case, I'd say.
And absolutely. I'm going to go back and delete that in the fullness of time. I will be as correct as I need to be. So, Dan, thank you very much for joining me at kind of short notice.
Thank you for having me. And it's good to hear that people are keeping their heads screwed on out there. Thanks to the listeners for their comments.
Yeah, thank you. Because, again, they were all at very short notice as well, folks. So thank you very much. Make sure you go back and check the Kai Dickens Telepathy Tapes podcast. It was just released on Monday. This is going to go out a day or two after, just because of continuity and not over. I don't want to dump loads of shows in one day. And I'm also wary of that, Dan, that this show becomes out of date very quickly. So it'll probably go out on Tuesday or Wednesday. So make sure you listen to both, folks. Thumbs, likes, shares, social media reviews, podcast reviews, all help massively in 2025. So here we go for a hell of a big year, Dan, and speak to you all very, very soon. That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right inside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an